You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Our guest is in his 40th season in professional baseball and 17th with the San Francisco Giants organization. For 13 of those 17 seasons, he was the bullpen catcher. For that length of time, he became one of the oldest and longest tenured in the game at that position. Perhaps for his own good, he's in his second season as Bruce Bochy's first base coach. He and the Giants will tell you without hesitation that Bill Hayes has been an invaluable component in all the success the Giants have achieved in recent years. And we welcome Bill Hayes, Ted Randall's Talking Baseball. Bill, great to be with you. When you were told you were moving from the bullpen to first base, what was your reaction?
Obviously very excited for a couple of reasons. One, to get on the field and actually get off my legs a little bit. And secondly, was to help make a difference in winning a game, although being in the bullpen, you know, there were some ups and downs to that, too, as far as winning the game. And, you know, you weren't actually on the field. But dealing with those guys in the bullpen, I miss those guys down there. And I think the feeling's mutual with them as well. But we've got a nice replacement in Eli Whiteside, and he does a great job. And he's going to continue to be a fixture in the organization as well.
I can't imagine, Bill, warming up those pitchers all those 13 years and enduring all those bumps and bruises. Tell us about that. How many pitches have been bounced in front of you?
Well, quite a few. I always said that, you know, the guy would throw one into the dirt a little bit, and our bullpen is on the field, and our GM at the time, president now, Brian Sabian, didn't like the ball going past the catcher. So, you know, there was a few bumps and bruises in there. But when they kept it down low, I always said it was a good pitch because the hitter can't hit one that bounces.
No, he can't. Tell us about the condition of your hands, your back, and your knees.
Well, not to have a pity party, but I've got torn cartilage in both knees, and I kind of refuse to get it fixed. It's really not that bad. It catches once in a while. But, you know, I love to hunt and fish in the winter, and to go in and get those knees repaired at this point in time is not an option for me because I like to hunt and fish too much. But, you know, my left hand is pretty tore up, and, you know, my index finger doesn't work too good anymore, and I don't think there's a whole lot of circulation left in it. But, you know, it's definitely worth it to put those three rings on either hand. You know, it's definitely worth it.
What is the worst shot you ever took down there?
Probably in Tampa Bay a few years ago on the AstroTurf, which the bullpen is also on the field. A guy named Tyler Walker that pitched very well for us for a number of years a fastball in the ground, and I was just trying to get out of the way, and it hit me kind of right in the top of the forearm on the elbow on the right side, and I got a nice little mouse on there, and it was kind of hard to throw the ball back. But, you know, not playing and not having to throw, I could get it back. But, you know, it only hurts for a little bit. We as a catcher, we always say rub some dirt on it.
I remember that when I was in Little League. You've also said, quote, the game can't beat me down, and that's so apparent to talk to you.
Well, you know, you've got it. We're lifers in this game, a lot of us, and you know, it's a blessing that I'm able to do what I'm able to do, and still physically able to, you know, get out there and throw batting practice, hit fungos, and catch in between innings once in a while when we've got both catchers in the game, and you know, it's gratifying that a kid from a little town in Nebraska has won three World Series, and I think the most gratifying part, Ed, was in 2014, my parents were at Game 6 and Game 7 in Kansas City, and they were able to partake in the festivities after the game, and my brother was there as well. So that probably means more to me than a lot of stuff that baseball has ever given to me. And just to be able to have my parents down there to be a part of all that.
What a nice story. Bill Hayes of the San Francisco Giants is with us on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Bill, you just alluded to it a moment ago. Give us a typical day for you now, and give us what a typical day for you was when you were still out in the bullpen.
Well, a day started in the when I was catching in the bullpen. There was always a pitcher that had to throw on the side, and so I was catching that side for the pitcher. And a lot of times Buster on the road would hit third or fourth, and we'd be on the road, and the bullpen would be out behind the field. So it would be too much for him to catch the whole thing and then run down there and try to be the third hitter in the game, you know. So I would kind of finish the starter up and then just go along as the game went. And prior to the game, you know, after the side, we would throw batting practice. And I'm also in charge of the catcher, so I don't do a whole lot of work with Buster during the season because he plays so much. But the backup guy, I would have a schedule mapped out for him. So we might throw to second base one day. We might block balls in the dirt one day. And, you know, some of the skill work that the catcher has to do. And then, you know, just get down there and finish the pitcher up for the game. And then hopefully we had a guy going seven or eight innings and it was pretty calm down there. But, you know, I give you a funny story. The first year I was here with Felipe, I used a Wilson glove, and actually the pocket ripped out of the glove. We warmed so many guys up.
Wow. And I read about you. You never used a glove inside your glove. Is that true?
Yeah, it doesn't do a whole lot of good for me. I mean, what's another 16th of an inch of padding on your hand? It doesn't do a whole lot. But I think when I quit doing that was when I was playing in the minor leagues. I got tired of making the third out and putting all the gear on and running out behind the plate and going, oh, I forgot my glove. You know, I'd have to stop and put the glove on. And finally, I just put the kibosh on that and said, I don't need this thing anymore. And, you know, certain guys use gloves. I think Buster uses a glove under his, you know, on his hand for catching. And I think Whiteside does. And the other kid, Tyra, that catches in the bullpen, they use a glove. But it's just a preference, you know. It's a feel you get. I know one thing, if you put a glove on your hand and then put your glove in there and then don't put the glove on your hand, the glove gets a little stretched out, so it's not the same feel. So either have to go with the glove or no glove, and you know, because that's your tool. Your glove is what you're the last line of defense that way, and you know, you got to be able to stop the ball. So it's just a feel thing, and I just got tired of putting it on at the end, and so I just quit doing it.
You mentioned a moment ago about your playing career. I just want to talk about that for a second. You were highly sought after. You were drafted one pick after Kirk Gibson in the first round of the 1978 draft by the Chicago Cubs. Eventually got to the major leagues in 1980 and 81. Talk, if you will, about your playing career.
Well, I always tell a funny story. In that same draft, I was picked before Cal Ripken. And I always tell people that, and they go, you mean Cal Ripken? I go, yeah. So somebody must have messed that one up. But, you know, I nine at-bats in the big leagues. I was 2-for-9. And about the only thing, I caught a shutout with Lynn McLaughlin against the Pirates in 1980. And then I got to throw out Omar Moreno, who was trying to tie Ron LaFleur in the stolen base department. And we got him out twice, and then he got on, and I'm like, well, this is it, you know. And he took off on the first pitch, and I probably made the best throw of my life and put it right on the bag and threw him out. I think he was one base behind LaFleur with 98 or 97, something like that. And I still remember Dutch Rennert, the umpire, after I threw the ball, he looked at me and he goes, that's a hell of a throw, kid. You know, and I really didn't know what I was doing at the time, as most rookies don't when they first get up there. I always call it a fast heartbeat, and I probably had a pretty fast heartbeat going, and you want to be able to play with a really slow heartbeat. And, you know, with nine at-bats, I think my heart was beating probably pretty fast in every one of those nine.
Who'd you get the two hits off of?
I got the first one off Pascual Perez, and I got the second one off Kent DeColvey.
And you've got the ball from the first one, right?
I sure do. It's on my mantle at the house.
After the conclusion of your playing career, 15 years as a minor league manager, when did you begin to think, Bill, you wanted to stay in the game?
Well, I think it kind of evolved when Pete McCannon, who's now the manager of the Phillies, was we were all together with the Cubs, and you know, I'd look around and I'd see guys that or organizations that had roving outfield instructors and base running instructors, and catching is such a vital, important part of the game that, you know, I noticed that no one really had roving catching instructors. So Pete was the field coordinator, and I kind of ran it by him and to see if we could put something like that together. And sure enough, the Cubs went for it. So
what a great idea.
Yeah, I started, and it was just odd that the other day I was talking to Joe Girardi. He's such a nice man with the Yankees, managing the Yankees, and a long playing career. I said, well, you know you're getting old when the manager of the Yankees at this point in time, I had as a minor leaguer and roving catching instructor trying to help Joe out, and here he is gone on with a great career and a great career managing the Yankees. So, you know, you put a little bit of something on each guy, and they take a little bit from you, or maybe they don't take anything from you, but you try to help each and every one of them and attain their goal is to become a major leaguer and play for a long time and, you know, set your family up for life.
Bill Hayes, our guest, one of the valued coaches on Bruce Bochy's staff. Speaking of which, Bill, Bochy was a catcher, as were you, as was Joe Girardi, who you just mentioned, and so many present-day managers. What do you make of that?
You know, Ed, I'm not sure. I think it's, you know, you're in the game and you kind of understand the game and situations that maybe not to tab somebody, but maybe a right fielder doesn't kind of see it that way or whatever, you know, open base and who's hitting, if the pitcher's coming up, are they going to pinch hit? And is there anybody throwing in the bullpen? And I think your mind just gets conditioned to work like that. And, you know, when I got toward the end of my career, I thought, you know, managing in the minor leagues, I think would be kind of fun. And I think you have aspirations of maybe one day managing in the big leagues. But, you know, after 8-9 years, it's, you know, you kind of go, well, maybe I could coach one of the bases or a bench coach or, you know, something like that, bullpen coach and understanding pitching and, you know, that kind of thing. But I think the catchers are just a little bit more in tune to the game than a lot of them are, and not to take anything away from everybody or anybody, because I'm sure there's guys that are into it just like the catcher is, but you have no choice as a catcher not to be into it.
You were headed to San Jose to manage in the California League in 2003, a Class A ball, when the Giants elevated you to the big league staff. How did that happen? Was it a surprise?
Well, I think they had asked about it when Dusty had left, and Juan Lopez was the bullpen catcher or coach, and he also caught in the bullpen, and they left and went to, I believe it was Chicago, and they didn't have anyone to catch in the bullpen, and they asked me if I would consider doing it, and I said, sure. So in the morning, I'm working with the catchers in the minor leagues, and then during the game in spring training, they said, well, go over and catch in the bullpen. And I hadn't caught for quite a long time, so I'm sure I was boxing a few up. But it got a little bit easier. And then I had some problems with my hip, and I was getting some shots in my hip, and they kept saying, well, how's your hip? Well, how's your hip? And I said, you know, my hip's fine if you want me to do it. And finally, one day, I was going out to have a meeting with the team in San Jose in spring training. We had a little meeting every morning before we started the day, and they called me back in and they said, how's your hip? And I said, look, I'm tired of answering how my hip is. If you want me to do it, I'll do it, you know. So they said, go to San Francisco and catch the exhibition games between Oakland and San Francisco. It was still kind of spring training. And I went and did that, and I kept coming back, and no one ever told me to stay or no one told me to go. And there was a uniform in my locker, so I just kept showing up.
Good for you. You mentioned Buster Posey earlier. You've worked with him since he was a 22-year-old rookie 7 years ago. What makes him so special?
Well, I think, number one, he's a very grounded individual, great family man. He doesn't take anything for granted, you know, and he's a special talent. He's pretty easy to work with. You know, a lot of it's aptitude and retention. You give him something, and certain guys grab it and run with it, and certain guys kind of toil with it. They can't understand, or it doesn't work for them, or whatever. So Buster's a guy that, you know, you pretty much tell him something one time, and, you know, he grasps onto it and can put it into effect in the game. And I think that's the biggest thing that that I see in Buster is his aptitude and retention are off the charts. I'm just speaking defensively. Offensively, that's another deal. You know,
right. Sure.
He's such a guy on both sides of the ball that can impact the game. And, you know, I don't talk to him about hitting, and we go over stuff in the spring on defense, and then we talk every day, you know, during the game on blocking and throwing, and, you know, maybe we see something on available of a pickoff or something on a guy at first or throwing behind the runner or, you know, that kind of thing. So he's always open for suggestions, and
he's a great
he's
student.
Always looking to get better.
He's a great student. A couple of quick things before you go. The continuity among the coaching staff in San Francisco, what an advantage that is for your players, Bill. Boshi keeps his staff together. It's you, and it's Rigetti, and it's Hensley Mullins, and it's Roberto Kelly. That really speaks to the stability of the organization.
Well, I think so, Ed. You know, a lot of the players, we've got a lot of homegrown players, and they've came up through the system, and I think it's a comfort zone for them that they know what we expect out of them, and they know what they're going to get from us every day and our personalities, and it's not like they're having to deal with, you know, new people coming in and trying to figure out this guy, and says something to me some days, and some days he doesn't speak to me or whatever. I think they have a continuity with the staff that it makes them comfortable, and in turn that is a glaring result on the field and with the world championships and, you know, the likes of that. And, you know, I think it's there's some validity to it where if you're getting a lot of turnover, then, you know, the players are kind of up in the air on what's going on. And not to say that you can't have a good staff doing that. I'm sure there's been plenty of staffs that have that, but I think the one plus for us is, you know, the players know what to expect out of us and what we expect out of them.
3 World Series rings. Where do you stash them, Bill?
I've got 3 safes in my home, and they're all packed in one safe, and I occasionally bring them out and you know, wear them once in a while, but it's just sure nice to look in that safe when I open them up to see 3 of them sitting right there in front of my eyes. But, you know, I keep them locked up, and I don't wear them a whole lot, but it's sure nice when you're able to put one of the 3 on.
You got room in that safe for a 4th?
I got plenty of room for a 4th and a 5th.
Who knows? We'll see what happens in the fall. Bill, great to be with you. So that'll do it for Bill Hayes and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.